Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Uncensored. I'm Marianne from Yachts Mermaids, and today we have Captain Dean from Motor Yacht Arians. Thank you, Dean, for being here today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm just so happy that I actually finally got a captain to come to the show. I think everybody's a little bit scared of the topics that I bring, you know, that I talk about in the industry, and I'm very, very grateful that you said yes to joining
me. No, not a problem. I love what you do. I love the content you put out there, and anything that we can do to make our industry better and greater, I'm 100% for it.
Amazing. And one of the things of why I asked you to come to the show was because you are known to be a leader in the industry as a captain. You are known to be a mentor. And we were just talking about that, where you were explaining to me in your eyes what a captain truly should be. And can you share that with us?
Yeah, for me, you know, it happened for me a long time ago, back in probably 2000 when I first got my captain's license. And in an interview, they asked me, did I have driving experience? And my answer was immediately, yes, I do. But the reality of it was, no, I don't. Because back in those times, the captains were old school captains, and they lived on the bridge. They did the thing and they drove the boat. And that was that, you know. And if you wanted to be a captain, you had to go leave the boat, go back to a really small boat and build your way up again. So I finally got my job on my first boat and did the driving, no problems. But I made a clear decision at that point in my life that any crew that came up through, that worked underneath me and my chief officers, my bosuns, my deckhands, I would give them every opportunity to have those skills before they went on, so that when they turn up as a captain on day one, they're confident to do what they need to do.
Yeah, and that's so amazing, because I think in my 14 years on boats, if I've seen maybe 2-3 captains being like actually mentoring and allowing the people that are, you know, that are in the process of becoming captains themselves to actually maneuver the vessel, and not just that, but other facets of being a captain, you know, like leading meetings and creating safety on board, you know, which kind of brings me to you right now are managing a big crew of 25, I believe.
Yep.
So with that comes a lot of things, because I mean, like 6 crew, that's, it gets maniac. Imagine 25.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, how do you create a safe environment where your crew feel that they can talk to you about whatever may be happening in their lives or at work?
Sure.
So they can, so, like, get your support.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So for me, I tell them that I have an open door policy to every single crew member. Now, if they choose to go through their HODs or their heads of departments before they come to me, that's also okay, because they're respecting the chain of command. But if they're not comfortable or confident in speaking to the chief mate or the stewardess about personal problems that they may have, whether it's female or male, it has no bearing on the matter. And I project that I am a safe place, and that I try and maintain contact with them so that I can also predict where there's a problem. Mm-hmm. One of the things that some captains do, and, you know, I don't want to get into a debate whether they're right or they're wrong, but I interact with the crew regularly, daily, so that, and we go out, we drink together, we go to the beach together, we work together, and we work hard chartering together. But by doing that, I'm picking up on their micro changes in their behavior. And so very quickly, I can see to one of the girls if they're not happy or they're not quite themselves. I pick up very early in the problem and just address it. Mm. Now, whether it's a private little pull them aside as they're walking down the corridor, hey, how you doing? You okay? Yep, all good. No problem. But they feel safe enough, because I do it so regularly, that if they're not quite right, they can say, oh, no, I've got this problem at home, or I'm having this problem on board because someone's not understanding. you know, there's language problems, there's nationality problems, there's, you know, there's a world of different issues. But if I'm not down there in the crew mess at lunchtime, if I'm not there at Smoko, then I don't see those micro changes. And I think that for me is critical.
Yes, I definitely agree with you. And that's one of the things that I was talking to a captain, where I literally said, you don't really know what's going on because you're never there. You're always on the bridge. Like, how are you going to know? And if you don't even talk to your head of departments and actually ask questions, because they're the ones always with the crew, you're never going to get access to those little things that you're talking about. So what about if, because I think like you probably have like your personality naturally, and if I'm mistaken, let me know. If this is something, is this a skill that you had to work through, or you always been like that, where you always been wanting to have human contact and, you know, care for others?
No, I definitely am a forward person. It's quite funny because my personality is introverted. So by nature, I'm an introvert, but everybody that I talk to about that will laugh at me and say, no, you're not. But what they don't understand is for my job as Captain Dean, I'm extroverted because I need to make sure that everything moves properly and stays going in the right direction. But when I'm at home and I'm in my own environment, I'm more than happy to sit on the couch, quiet, get wrapped up in a movie and just not talk. That's the true Dean. But for my work, I'm extroverted. So yes, you know, I am this after 30 years. So yeah, it comes naturally to me now, but you get tired. And when you get tired, it's harder to do, to keep motivating yourself to go and make sure that everyone's okay. And that's why I'm so lucky to have an amazing group of people now around me. And, you know, one of my mantras is that we're only as strong as our weakest link. Yeah. And some days I'm that weakest link, me. And I have such an amazing crew that they can hold me up and they can say, we're here to support you until tomorrow you're better and we can continue on as an amazing group of people.
I love it. And yeah, so I love the fact that you said, you know, like, this is not who I am naturally. This is the choice I have taken in order to fulfill the role that I want to do and explore, you know, as a captain.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's very important that people understand this. Like, it's a choice. If this doesn't come out naturally, and even if it comes out naturally, it's a choice to be wanting to be present and to care for others and to, you know, to be aware of what's happening in your environment in order to be supportive of it.
Absolutely.
How have you in, as a captain, have you experienced mental health issues on board?
Me, myself, absolutely. You know, I have, and I continue to develop myself. I have people that I talk to that help me get through my days, my hours, my weeks, my months as I need them. I cannot strongly recommend that enough. You know, it's a skill. It doesn't come easily. You have to work at it. And yes, I think it's more prevalent today than it has ever been before. You know, we're a male dominated industry, and that is slowly changing. And, you know, and we're getting some shift to that, which is amazing. And I can't wait to see that develop further. But you need to watch for that. And I continually take training on that to notice those signs and to make sure that I'm there in whatever format or fashion I can to help with that.
And this is a marine training, or this is like extra different type of training?
Well, it's within the marine industry, from captains that have either developed ways to recognize the pressures that come from yachting, being alone, away from family, missing weddings, missing birthdays, missing funerals, you know, missing your children being born, your first days, their first days at school, you know, to pick up on them again, back to the micro reactions to people and noticing when people are seeking help from their actions, not necessarily spoken words.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because the body is a language. It speaks.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah,
and you 100%. Have to learn how to recognize this for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. And I love the fact that you talked about self-development, because it is, I believe, to be the number one thing that's missing in the yachting industry, where people don't, you know, people pay to get courses to develop their career, but they don't really develop their own personal skills, you know, so how to manage themselves, how to learn how to handle life, so they can actually transfer those skills with the environment that they're in.
Yeah, no, you hit on a very good point there. For me, tickets and courses and training is amazing, and we pay for that. We go to school and we learn, but there is no substitute for life skill. Zero. Exactly. And until you get the life skill, then you hold a piece of paper, and I will congratulate you and encourage you to do that. But life skill, it's irreplaceable. You know, I think there was a period maybe 5 years ago where we got completely indulged with captains. All of a sudden, every first officer I knew, all of a sudden, was going off to do their Master 3000. They get their ticket, and then they automatically assume that they can run a 50-meter boat. Well, yes, I'm sure they can drive a 50-meter boat. That's not the problem or the issue for me. It's managing 15 people.
Yes.
Like, you can't go from a first officer on a 50-meter boat to being responsible for 15 souls and understanding everything that goes with it. When can I go on holiday? Can I go with my girlfriend? Why can't I do this? You know, I want time off for training. Let me drive the boat. You know, all the added pressures of chartering and all that. It's going back in size of boats to build your life skill to be an amazing captain.
Yeah, I agree with that. So when it comes down to mental health on board, what's the support system that you have implemented in order to give that, you know, to have that space for your crew, that if they need help, this is what's available to you, or, you know, apart from obviously the open door policy?
Yeah, sure. So we have on board an agreement with an outside source, so just not me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I break it down to you, someone, the head of department comes to me and says, okay, one of the stewardesses isn't feeling well or isn't behaving correctly in their opinion. So I say, okay, do you want to talk to them or would you like me to? If the chief stewardess says, no, I've tried to, she says there's nothing wrong, but something's not right. So then I will go and speak to her. Then if I can develop the scenario with her and help her and mentor her through the problem, then we leave it at that and we just have a continual dialogue and develop it. If I move a step further forward, I have that same conversation and it is outside of my skill set or my ability to deal with those life troubles, then I will move her on to someone that is way more qualified than me. So that could be a therapist. It could be a life coach. It could be a nutritionist. It could be whoever. Mm-hmm. And we have those mechanisms set up within the boat so that they can go and do that. Now, we won't carry that forever, but what we will do is, for example, they may be able to go and speak to someone for 3 sessions, so 3-hour sessions, if they're getting a result from that, and after those 3 hours they want to continue, then that's up to them, and then they invest in themselves to continue to get better.